Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Manxiety Podcast.
We're your hosts, Ashad and Matt. Before we get started, if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe so you can get notified of new episodes.
If you want to share this with your friends, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify.
This week, we're going to be talking about support buddies. Just general tips on how to check in with friends, who to talk to, and ways to get support that aren't, professional support.
Yep. And this week, I have a funny story related to support buddies that happened hours before recording this podcast. So I was on the phone with my mom for Mother's Day. Just gave her a call, wish her happy Mother's Day. And my mom told me how she purchased some pots at Lowe's because she's been getting into gardening. Again, we're in the middle of this pandemic, right? So she's staying at home gardening. And she ordered however many. They sent her the wrong number. So she called up support to get her order, fixed. And she's on customer service with this guy. This guy's from Indiana. They start talking about, my mom's super friendly. So they start talking about everything. Next thing you know, they're talking about COVID, coronavirus, pandemic, life. She said it was a 2.5 hour conversation. And they got on the topic of anxiety because the support staff guy has anxiety and he's super worried about what's going on in life and he doesn't know how to handle it. So my mom, being the OG of anxiety that she is, decides to give him lessons on things that he can do, both like breathing exercises, books that he can read, blood tests that he can get done to see if his vitamin D levels are low, just everything in between. And I'm sitting there just like going, I'm taking notes for the show. Yeah. What else? What else would you say? So, somebody who's going to give you support and who's a support buddy could be anybody from your friend or family member, which hopefully it is, or somebody who randomly calls into your call center line and is trying to get their fucking order fixed. We're all in this together, folks. This crazy journey.
Yeah, that's a good point, Matt. I mean, it's interesting because you, anxiety and or depression, like, they make you feel alone, but it's crazy how many people there are out there that are willing to help each other or just talk about it, talk about their own experiences or what they've done, or, when they hear that you're going through something that maybe they're going through or they've gone through in the past, just sitting there and listening to you. And sometimes that's all it takes. I have a similar story, though, in a very, very different circumstance. So I think we mentioned maybe the first episode of this that we were both going through some level of anxiety at some point, and I was getting married. I did get married. Before getting married, I had my bachelor party. And we did what, I think many guys do at bachelor parties. We went out drinking, went out to clubs, and we went out to a strip club. And so while we were there, one of my friends, he was talking to one of the women that works there for a very long time. And I'm talking about, like, he was sitting there for about 2 hours and just talking to her. That's all they were doing. And, whatever, he was having a good time. He did his thing. We finished up and we left the club once it closed. And we're on our way back to the Airbnb that we were staying at. And we ended up asking him, what were you guys talking about for so long? You guys were sitting there for 2 hours. And, my friend said that he was talking to her about anxiety. And he found out that she had anxiety and she's had it for a while. And she needed someone to talk to. So he literally sat there in the middle of a strip club, talking to her about it for 2 hours, telling her what he's done, how he manages some of his anxiety, listening to her talk, and find out, what's given her anxiety and what's going on. And it helped her. And, in the unlikeliest of places, like, how many guys do you know that, go to a strip club and talk to women about anxiety?
I can probably say, I was there. One.
Exactly. Yeah. I was about to say, I can probably say I know at least one. And Matt, you know one too. But that doesn't happen very often. But again, it's, you know, it can be found in the unlikeliest places and the unlikeliest people. You know, this thing that makes us not want to talk to anyone, make us feel alone, can actually bring people together, surprisingly enough. I think we mentioned a little bit about this again in the first episode about how, you know, when Matt reached out to me and like told me how he was feeling and he found out that like I had, you know, I was going through some of the same things. Well, the same thing happened with some other friends as well. You know, we were hanging out one day. I lived down in Irvine for a little bit, but I'm originally from LA. So I was back in LA. I was at a bar with some of my friends, and I don't remember what we got talking to, but I ended up mentioning that, you know, I had anxiety and, you know, I've been seeing a therapist and like doing all these things to help out. And there were three of my friends that were there, and I've known them since maybe like 10 years or so. And one, they were all very surprised. They had a very similar reaction to Matt, where it was like, you know, you're the last person out of all of us that we thought would have anxiety. And I guess that's one thing to keep in mind is that, you know, it doesn't, anxiety doesn't pick and choose who gets it. It can happen to anyone. And a lot of people go through it. But it was also interesting because when I told them, they all told me that they had anxiety too, and that they were going through very, very similar things, and that they hadn't talked to anyone about it. They hadn't even talked to each other about it, and that they're very close. These three friends are like me and Matt are, you know, best. He keeps saying best friends. Where I consider us more like brothers, but like these guys are like best friends as well. So they talk about everything, and some of them hadn't even talked to each other about this. And it just took one person, that being me, you know, telling them what I was going through, for them to open up about it too, and for us to share, you know, what we're doing that helps us and how to help each other. And, you know, whenever I talk to them now, I always ask them, you know, how are they doing? If they're feeling better, if, you know, if they're not, I try to give them suggestions or some advice. And if they are, you know, I ask them what they've been doing different, like what's helping and stuff. So it's very much a, I don't want to say a community, but, you know, together we can achieve a lot, and you know, we can help each other with anxiety. It's not something you have to go through alone. If you just open up about it, there are many, many people out there that, you know, that will open up to and that you can help each other.
Yeah, the Social Anxiety Club meets every Tuesdays. Never, because everybody has social anxiety and doesn't want to go to a meeting.
I always liked the t-shirts that they had, the Anti-Social Social Club. I thought those were hilarious because it's pretty much what an anxiety social club would be.
Yeah, I mean, one time I was at a party and just a lot of shit was going on, and I was like, I don't know what it was. I think I'd like just gotten through like a breakup or some shit. And I was at a party and somebody's like, why are your pupils so dilated? I'm like, oh, cause I'm fucking like jacked on adrenaline right now. Like this party's making me like anxious because of how many people are packed into this tiny little garage. This is pre COVID. So it's not, you know, like I'm not worried about too many people around, but the girl I was talking to was one of my friends. And she's like, I don't believe you. Like, are you making fun of me? I'm like, what? She's like, I'm super nervous in crowds. And I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, I can be nervous too.
So she's like, no, it's only me, Matt.
Yeah, I was like, this isn't about you, okay? I won't
say her name. She's like, today's my day.
Yeah.
But stop taking the spotlight from me. I'm the,
yeah. How dare you? Also,
I'm the socially anxious one over here.
I want to publicly state that Ashot is no longer my support buddy because he doesn't recognize my best friendship. He thinks we're brothers or some shit, which I guess could make us part family, which is probably better than best friends. But you know what? It's about me and my day.
To be clear, we actually are brothers. We're in a fraternity together. Continue to be. So technically we are brothers, Matt. You can't get rid of me that easily.
Damn it. You know what's funny about that? Quick story. So like you said, we're in the same fraternity. We went to college together. That's where we met. I was president, and then Ashot was president after. So we had a lot of leadership experience, a lot of crazy, crazy experiences within that, right? Getting a group of 50 to 60 people to listen to you when they're in college is not easy.
50 to 60 guys.
Oh, yeah.
I think you should put that out there.
Fucking animals.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 50 to 60 college-aged men getting them together.
But anyways, so I was talking to my mom, like I said, the OG of anxiety, because she's had it her whole life, and then later used her to help me through some of the stuff. And I mean, she didn't even know I had it. She still learns things about me to this day. And I was having heart palpitations. And I was like, something's wrong with my heart. I need to go to the doctor. And I never go to the doctor. So I called my mom. I'm in college. I'm in the car. Hey, I need to go to the doctor. I have a heart problem. She's like, of course she fucking panics, right? She's freaking the fuck out, calling a cardiologist, all that shit. I go to the doctor, and my doctor's like, so what are you doing? I go, oh, I'm in college. He's like, oh, is that stressful? I'm like, no, not really. He's like, well, what are you majoring in? And then I was like, business information management, right? Which we talked about before. And he's like, so what's that like? I'm like, it's a lot of work. I'm taking four classes every quarter, but it doesn't stress me out. He's like, okay, what else do you do? I was like, I'm president of a fraternity. He's like, is that stressful? No. He goes, well, what else? Do you have a relationship or anything? I was like, yeah, I have a girlfriend right now. He's like, is that stressful? I'm like, no. And he just looks at me dead in the eyes and he goes, all those things are stressing you out, even though you don't think they are. And that's why you're having heart palpitations. Your heart is completely fine. It's like you're a 20-year-old kid. Like, calm down. And I'm like, what? I'm not dying of a heart attack. I don't have whatever. He's like, no, you're fine. So I get in the car, and immediately all my symptoms are gone. And my mom's like, so how are you feeling? I'm like, oh, I feel great. Let's go get some food. Because it just took... it just took somebody to hear me out and be like, yeah, you're not crazy. I've had those symptoms. I know what that's like. Don't worry about it. Especially now, given that we're in the midst of this crap, right? It's pretty nuts because I feel anxious when I see other people get anxious when I know that they don't know how to handle it.
Yeah, I feel the same way with people too. Especially people that, normally... either they haven't told me they have anxiety or I just don't know. And then you see something like this go on and then they, you can see it now. You can see that they definitely have anxiety and they don't know what to do about it and how to manage it. It's hard to see. And I definitely start feeling a little anxious as well.
Yeah. Definitely having that support group is so helpful. There's been times when I've texted a shot or called him and I'm like, hey, I just feel like shit. I need to talk to somebody. Or I've done that with my roommates. My roommates are here. Just having some line of contact and somewhere that you can maybe vent to or talk about your day, whatever. I think that a lot of animal shelters have been out of pets recently. I've heard in the news in different areas because so many people are adopting pets right now. A pet could definitely be, your support buddy. You can talk to your dog, your cat, your gecko, your ferret, your tiger, if you're the tiger king, your toad, if you're a warlock, or your black cat, if you're a witch, or whatever. You can talk to anybody and anything, just as long as it helps you feel better. I'm sure dogs have anxiety. When we leave, they don't understand that we're going to come back.
Oh, they for sure do. And a lot of it comes down to training. We recently, after we got married, we got a dog, her name's Honey, and we did a lot of research, I'd never actually had a dog of my own. I've had dogs that I've helped raise before, my uncle's dog. And, we had a dog for a little bit at my house. Not for very long. And I think that's a story that I'll get into some other day. We did a lot of research, and I want to make sure that my dog doesn't have anxiety when we leave and come back. And a big part of that anxiety is that when people leave, a lot of times they make a big deal out of it. They work the dog up, right? They're petting it, they're saying goodbye and all this stuff, and the dog doesn't understand what you're saying. It doesn't know what those words mean. It just thinks you're saying all this stuff, now it thinks that there's some sort of danger or something's going on, and then you leave. Now the dog's sitting there feeling anxious because you said all this stuff to it, right? And now you just left and doesn't know what's going on. It's like, oh no, what happened? Like, was he panicking? Was there something wrong? He ran out, you know, did all this stuff and left. And then people come home and they start petting the dog and doing all this stuff again, right? Like, they greet them and they, you know, oh my God, my little doggy, I haven't seen you so long, blah, 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 blah. And then the dog gets used to you doing that when you come home. So now you made it feel anxious when you leave. You come home and you're petting it and giving it so much attention. So the next time you leave, one, it's thinking, oh no, something's going to happen because, you know, I'm getting all this attention, like, again, getting very excited. And two, it's thinking, oh no, he's gone. When's he going to come back so he can pet me and make me feel real good again? So now it's anxious and sitting there waiting for you because it knows that as soon as you get home, you're going to pet it and do all the stuff to it. And it makes it feel anxious. So we said, what we started doing was when we left, you know, we wouldn't give it any special kind of attention, just like the regular attention we would always do. And when we came back, the same thing, no special attention. We would just come back home. And our dog is really good about it now. I mean, you know, she doesn't jump around. She doesn't do any of that stuff. I like to think that, you know, we help manage the dog's anxiety. I think I might be the dog's support buddy.
That's how he treats me. He just leaves the conversation. We'll be in the middle of a phone call and he just hung up. It's nothing special. Don't worry about it. Click.
It's because I never want to say goodbye to you, Matt.
Okay. All right. Well,
going back to your story about the doctor, though, you know, I went through the similar thing too. I mentioned before that I had a, you know, I had a panic attack at a friend's wedding. Well, after that incident, I called my doctor and I asked to go in. I wanted to get an EKG done because, again, I thought something was wrong with my heart, just like Matt did. I was having heart palpitations too. So I went in and they hooked me up, and you know, they did the thing. And funny enough, because I have anxiety, most likely, they hooked it up and, you know, the test ran, and then the guy grabs the sheet. I'm like, you know, like, so what does it say? Is everything cool? And he's like, oh, the doctor has to tell you. And I'm like, oh no, what's wrong with me? Why does the doctor have to tell me, you know, what my test says? So I'm sitting there like freaking out for like the 5 minutes it takes for the doctor to finish with the other patient and come in and see me. And he comes in and he's like, yeah, you got nothing wrong. So yeah, I mean, that's squashed that worry there as well. After that, I was like, you know, my heart seems pretty good. There was a 12 bar EKG done. All 12 bars look good. That's, you know, 10 would have been good with me, but 12 is even better.
A plus for you. Side note, because talk about health stuff. Like this past year, I got my wisdom teeth out, right? So I got a bunch of x-rays done when I was like 18. They're like, your wisdom teeth are coming in straight. I wouldn't remove them. They lied to me. One of them is crooked upside down. Whatever. And I had so much anxiety about getting put under because I was like, I'm just going to just put me out and I'll deal with it later. Right. And like, I didn't know what I was going to feel, whatever. Turns out I don't remember much of it. I literally don't remember from the end of the procedure to being on my couch. Now my roommate drove me home. So let's not get, you know, no fear for my life. But I was just so worried that I was going to say something stupid that I guarantee you I said something stupid.
Yeah, like, no, I need to get mine out too, and that's, I have the same exact worry.
Yeah, like my thought before, you know, like I'm put in the chair and they put the IV in, right? They're like, oh, you're gonna feel like a little coldness and a pinch. I'm like, cool, whatever, just do whatever. And like I think it was the anesthesiologist or somebody, like whoever was in the room with me, was like incredibly attractive. And all I was thinking was like, don't hit on her. Don't hit on her. Don't hit on her. So I guarantee you, as soon as I came out, I was probably like, will you marry me? I probably said something ridiculous and I don't remember it. So I just don't worry about it. But yeah,
if you don't remember it, did it happen?
God, sorry, I'm coughing.
It's all good.
You know what worries me now is every time I cough, I have to clear my throat. Somebody will just say COVID.
And I'm like, hey. It's funny because I say that too. My wife was coughing earlier today, and the first thing I said was COVID, and it's not a joke. Like, well, I mean, like it is a joke, but it's like we shouldn't be joking about it. But
no, we're just trying to handle our anxiety by being funny.
Exactly.
I tell bad jokes. Like, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say I tell bad jokes too. You've heard 90% of them, and you tell me they're bad.
Yeah, literally, they're all trash. It's like panhandling for gold. Every once in a while, there's a little gold nugget, but the majority of it is just dirt. Yeah, like I was at work, and I'm talking to my coworkers, and we try to like social distance talk about like how we're feeling a little bit every once in a while, maybe like once a week. And one of them will cough or sneeze or clear his throat or anything, and I pop up like a meerkat. Like around like the way our work area is set up kind of weird because it's in like a lab environment for testing equipment, but I'll like pop up and just like stare at him and like, he'll look back and he's like, I ate something spicy. I'm clearing my throat. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're probably like, I know who I'm staying away from.
Oh, I avoid everybody like the plague. In fact, if they had the plague, it would be better because it's probably more visible, right?
That's true.
Or it would kill everybody quickly and they would have to worry. That was a joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely reaching out to people is incredibly helpful. Now, obviously, we understand that if you're listening to us, I don't think any, I don't want to say normal person because people with anxiety are completely normal. It's normal to have anxiety. But any like maybe symptom-bearing person that doesn't understand what they're going through is probably going to be listening to us. They're not going to search, you know, the list of podcasts and be like, oh, what's this anxiety podcast about? That sounds interesting. That's a great pun. It's probably going to be people that are experiencing symptoms that are here. But even if you're experiencing symptoms, you know, please check in on your friends, especially right now, but always if you can once this is over. Anytime there's like a change in behavior, right? For me, I know that like if I'm super anxious and stressed out, I will refuse to go out and see people, which now it's great because now I'm stressed out. I'm like, oh, cool. I can't see people. This is awesome. But a lot of times, like when I become recluse, that's when I'm digging myself into that hole of, oh, no, I don't want to see people. They don't want to see me. I don't want to hang out with them.
When you stop playing video games with us, that's when I know.
I mean,
Matt needs some shot love.
a shot through the heart. I was mentioning that previously that I kind of became super recluse before, and the thing was I was like using video games as an escape, and then they started making me anxious because I was worried about doing well for the team and everything, and then I had to like pull back from that, and then it got crazy because then I didn't have a relief of anything. So another thing I want to mention is obviously, like, a lot of people are going to have anxiety and symptoms of it. They just don't, maybe like I said, they don't know what it is or they don't know how to deal with it. But some people probably deal with it the way that I sometimes find myself dealing with it, which is I will clean the house. I will clean the entire house and it is spotless. Because in my head, if I can, like, order the tasks that I need to do, like, I need to make sure all the dishes are clean. I need to do all my laundry. I need to do all whatever. I will dust. I will dust off things that don't need to be dusted because it's a task that I need to do. It is ridiculous.
I swear, I'm pretty sure I went through college and I never dusted. I don't remember ever dusting while I was in college. After college, I had to because I had a girlfriend and she would come over and, you know, the place needed to look nice. But in college, I don't remember ever dusting.
Yeah, the cleanest your room will ever be is if you're going to have a guest.
Yeah, especially one that you're attracted to.
100%. Like, there have been times when, like, our place is usually pretty clean, but there have been times when it's extra clean, and, like, my roommates are like, so who's coming over? I'm like, don't worry about it.
You know, I do want to go back to a little bit talking about support buddies again. And, you know, support buddies are, again, we mentioned a very important thing. But support buddies, you know, when we say support buddies, we mean people. Alcohol and drugs are not support buddies, even though some people may think they are. In the long run, neither of those things will help you. I know people who, you know, took to drinking to try and help control their anxiety. And, you know, in the short term, yeah, you know, it makes you feel good. Or even drugs, you know, makes you feel good. You forget about your problems, maybe for a little bit. But then as soon as it wears off, you feel even worse. And then, you know, you might do it again the next day and you might drink a little bit more. And then you get into this pattern of doing that. And eventually you're going to come to a day where you're going to feel much, much, much worse than you did when you first started. So neither of those things are a solution to this. I mean, I'm not saying don't drink. I'm not saying don't do recreational drugs that are legal. What I'm saying is don't use those as a way to cope with anxiety, because that's definitely what they're not. They're not there to, counteract the symptoms of anxiety. If anything, they're going to multiply it in the long run and make you feel even worse.
Yep, the rebound anxiety that you get sometimes when you are clear-headed and sober and you realize, you know, actually dealing with what's going on can be way worse, like you said. I came up with this rule back in college where I'm not allowed to drink if I'm sad, because there's so many times when people want to maybe mourn a loss of anything, right? A friend, a pet, maybe your sports team lost and for some reason you're sad about it and you want to drink. And my rule has always been never to drink when I'm sad, only when I'm happy, because I just know that it's going to be an amplifier. And anxiety is already very much an amplifier of what you're feeling, right? If you're already sad or stressed out, especially with, you know, things going on in the world, and you have anxiety, it's just going to amplify those feelings even more. And there's times when, like, I get excited and I'm very excited. I'm like a dog running at you full clip because I came home and you're not properly managing its anxiety. and I just, like, I'm not like, I feel manic, but I'm not like manic in the state of it, right? But yeah, like there's times when, like, it's like you're very excited or you're very whatever, and then you're very down. And yeah, having somebody there to kind of balance you out. Like, there's times when I'll have to ask one of my roommates, like, am I crazy for thinking X, Y, and Z, like, about an event or about an interaction I had? And sometimes they go, yeah, that's a little far-fetched. What do you mean? Or they'll go, no, I've thought the same way. And, I feel the same way, right? Like, you can only live your experience. You can't live somebody else's life, right? What's crazy is even when you look at people, like, you look at, like, The Rock, right? The Rock's now this giant movie star, has all this money, super jacked, right? And he probably looks at himself in the mirror and he probably goes, you know what? I'm a little bit too fat in this area. I need to work on it. Even though everybody else would look at him going, oh my God, you have everything I could ever want. Right. And it's just getting down on yourself in that way. So yeah, having that support will definitely help you realize that we're all going through something crazy, not just COVID, but also life, right? We're on a floating rock in space. Living our lives to the fullest, hopefully.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, I had a similar thing when I was stressed or sad. And I'm not a smoker in any way, but like I would have like a single cigarette every now and then when I was in college. Super stressful days or super sad days or whatever. But then next morning I would wake up and I would feel like shit. So I definitely stopped that very early on. But drugs, alcohol, in the long run, those things aren't going to help. And, you know, soon we're going to have an episode where we'll talk about sort of different methods of, coping with anxiety and managing it. We'll talk a little bit about, what we do, what we've done, other recommendations by other people. But something I did want to mention now is that, the people that, you know, don't experience anxiety, or maybe don't talk about it, but do experience it. You know, a lot of times people do things to manage their anxiety that, you know, they don't even know that they're doing it and that it's helping them in that way. You know, I have friends that will work out every day, right? And like, they've never talked about anxiety. They've, to my knowledge, they've never experienced anxiety. And I think the main reason for that is because they work out every day. You know, they take their stress out because, you know, through their workout, and they're able to clear their mind and, you know, have a singular focus while they're working out. And that's, a lot of that helps, you know, helps reduce anxiety, and they're reducing it by not even knowing that they're doing it. Now, if they completely stop working out, you know, will something arise? Maybe. But again, as of right now, you know, the things that they're doing, is making sure that, you know, they manage it and that they don't experience any of the stuff that, you know, we've experienced.
Yeah. PRs in the gym, having a clean house. These are all symptoms of anxiety. But yeah, on a serious note, you know, you need to find what works for you. And I think a lot of the time talking to somebody, like we said, will really be beneficial, especially if you can find somebody who's gone through a similar experience. We understand that talking about issues that you may have is hard, especially if people are negative. Sometimes you can reach out to somebody and say, hey, I'm going through a rough time. Do you have a few minutes to talk? And they might tell you like, oh, you're going through a rough time. I'm going through a rough time. Oh my God. Or they might try and minimize your pain and your experience by saying, oh, well, people in Africa are starving. You're like, well, yeah, but I am too. Or, you know, in any of those types of things, I would just say early on through your journey, just try to avoid those people as much as you can. Hopefully we'll have some kind of community set up where people can reach out to other people and have support buddies that are online, and, you know, we can obviously respond to people and help out as well, but we're only so many people. We're only two people here. So it'll really be important to grow those things and to grow your social circle, especially if you feel alone right now. Please, please, please try to reach out to somebody.
Even reach out to us.
Yeah, reach out to us, even if it's like a hotline that you call. Like I said, there's no real hotline for like, I need to just vent about my day and talk about anxiety, as far as I know. I mean, so yeah, like, you know, let's get through this thing, and we're here because we want to help, right? If we didn't want to help, we wouldn't do this podcast. We wouldn't talk about shit. It is weird, like I said before, to talk about things that we've gone through because of the stigmas around it. Mental health in general, right? Like Ashot said, everybody says, oh, get your mental health right. Go get checked up. Make sure you're good. But the second that you do it, you talk about it, you're either going to find that other people have similar experiences as you, and they're going to go, holy shit, wow, like I also saw a therapist or whatever. Or you're going to get the people that maybe haven't come to terms with it, or maybe they just truly don't ever experience anxiety. They don't understand what you're feeling, and they minimize it. So definitely avoid the negative ones and just reach out to the positive ones.
I agree. And, you know, it is a lot about just perspective, right? You know, you can have problems, you know, people say first world problems, but yeah, you can have first world problems. And to you, those problems may be just as bad as someone that, you know, lives in third world country and has third world problems. Now, am I saying that, you know, the problems are comparable? You know, if someone is starving and you can't get your Starbucks, are those comparable problems? No. But to you personally, you know, it might cause you the same level of anxiety. And that's, you know, you can't let other people downplay that. You have your own problems. They're causing you anxiety. So it's a real problem. And you have to understand that, you know, no matter what the problem is, if it's making you anxious, if it's making you feel a certain way, then it's a problem. It's a problem for you. And, you know, talking to other people and avoiding the ones that try to downplay your problems or don't care about them is probably going to be your best way to help manage it and, you know, resolve your problems and get through them. I think that's all we had for this episode. Thank you all again for, you know, listening to the podcast, for supporting us. And, you know, we hope that some of what we talked about will help you. And again, as Matt mentioned, you know, if you're listening to this right now, reach out to someone, talk to one of your friends, maybe someone that you haven't talked to in a while, just check in on them, see how they're doing. Especially during this coronavirus, you know, everyone's stuck at home. You don't get to see each other. Just, you know, talk to them and say, hey, what's up? You know, what's going on? How's the quarantine life? Make a quarantini with them. Right? Yeah. Isn't that cool? Yeah, I heard that the other day. It's a martini that you make during quarantine, so it's a quarantini.
That's nice. Yeah, I mean, now obviously everybody always asks the question, like I still have to go into work, right? At least in my lab environment. So it's like, how was your weekend? You know what I did this weekend. I did nothing.
I did the same hopefully the same exact thing you did, which is nothing.
Right. Or somebody goes, hey, you got any plans for this weekend? Yeah, I'm going to sit at home and watch TV for 19 hours.
Yep.
They're like, oh, okay. You know, so definitely reach out to people. People are bored at home. I get bored sometimes. I do things to entertain myself. Like I said, I, you know, clean the kitchen 6 times a day sometimes.
Yeah, record a podcast.
Yeah, this isn't because we're bored. It's because we want to help, okay? Don't you minimize my willingness to help. How dare you?
I'm sorry. Anyway, thank you all again. And until next time, stay safe.